fans, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's begin with African boxing. 23-year-old Isaac Dogbe has become Ghana's youngest world champion, capturing the WBO super bantamweight title over the weekend in the eastern U.S. city of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Ghana has produced some great fighters over the years, including Azuma the Professor Nelson, Ike Bazooka Quarte, and Joshua Clote. But Dogbe goes into the record books as the country's youngest world champion. Reporter Samson Omale has more details for us. Good evening, Samson.
Good evening to you, Sonny. Isaac Dogbe has become Ghana's youngest ever boxing champion after knocking out Jesse Madaglino in Philadelphia, making him the new WBO super bantamweight and junior featherweight title holder. The Ghanaian won by technical knockout in 11 rounds as he was ahead on all three official scorecards at the time of a stoppage with 97-91, 96-91, and 95-93 to win. The 23-year-old recovered well enough to claim his 11th straight victory.
It was unbelievable. I never thought I was going to go down, but he put me down for the first time. It's a learning curve, and I appreciate, you know, the lessons. It's just a little slip up. He caught me with a good shot. I went down, I got back up, you know. We'll finish the job.
The South African government are reportedly planning to lobby other African countries as they prepare to fight against the International Association of Athletics Federation's IAAF ruling regarding testosterone levels in female athletes, which could mean double Olympic 800 meters champion Caster Semenya is barred from competing. South Africa's sports minister, Thokozile Xhosa, confirmed that South African President Cyril Ramaphosa will meet with Semenya, winner of Commonwealth Games gold medals in the 800 meters and 1,500 meters at the Gold Coast 2018 in the near future to discuss the issue.
What we're asking is Africa, because for your long-distance races, it's more of your African kids that are participating, and we have been making why a query when it comes to them? Why do they want to determine which distances they must run? And at the same time, why would they also want to dictate on a natural occurrence in a person?
Staying with athletics, Ethiopians world-class runners dominated the Haspa Marathon Hamburg, Germany, taking all three places on the podium. Solomon Dikisa won with 2 hours, 6 minutes, 34 seconds, the third fastest time ever in Hamburg. Debutant Tade Abate took second with 2 hours, 6 minutes, 54 seconds, while Ayele Abashara was third in 2 hours, 7 minutes, 19 seconds. And on to rugby, the National 15th Rugby Team Technical Bench will trim down the number of players for selection for the Rugby World Cup 2019 qualifier squad from 60 to 35 after concluding trials in Kenya. The two-part trials offer an opportunity to the new coach Ian Snook to pick Kenya's top 15 players. The squad picked will take part in the 2018 Rugby Africa Gold Cup, which serves as the African qualifying round for the 2019 Rugby World Cup in Japan. I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria.
Thanks, Samson. I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. In more boxing news, WBC heavyweight champion Deontay Wilder says he thinks a world title unification fight against Anthony Joshua will definitely happen. Wilder spoke in the southern U.S. city of Talladega, Alabama, where he served as honorary pace car driver for a NASCAR race. And for our VOA boxing fans updating their scorecards, Deontay Wilder is from Tuscaloosa, Alabama, which is about 177 kilometers west of Talladega. Deontay Wilder says his team has offered Anthony Joshua a guarantee of at least $50 million. Wilder says, and I quote, "If Joshua and his team are smart enough, they'll take this fight. It would be a unification bout with four heavyweight titles on the line." Now let's go to Johannesburg, South Africa, where an ex-professional boxer is helping train fighters not so much for world championship fights, but for fitness. In this encore Sunny Side of Sports presentation, let's listen in again to this hard-hitting feature from Darren Taylor.
A sweating boxer punches a bag inside the top box gym in northern Johannesburg. On its walls are faded photos of boxing legends like Mike Tyson and local fight heroes including former lightweight world champ Dingaan Tobela. Ex-professional boxer Stephen Castle says when he opened Top Box 18 years ago, it was the only boxing fitness facility in South Africa. Now they're springing up across the country.
I think people are drawn to boxing because it's a cheap way of training that's effective. You don't need fancy equipment. You don't need this big leg press machines and these heavy weights and fancy treadmills and stepping machines.
One of his clients, body therapist Michelle Katsavas, says traditional workouts bore her and boxing's exciting.
It's great fun. You know, it's exercise, but it isn't. You don't really think about it at the time you're doing it. That's really why I do it.
Castle's training space is simple. A rudimentary boxing ring, skipping ropes, and a few punch bags. But as the brawny bald man says, a little goes a long way.
It increases your muscle tone. It makes you stronger where you're weaker. The routine is the routine. If you need to lose weight, you'll lose weight. Boxing will fix your body. It'll put it where it should be and correct it. That's what it does.
The trainer says unlike many other ways to get fit, boxing exercises the upper and lower body at the same time and bolsters the mind.
What I do give you is I give you the ability to believe in yourself, to have confidence in your own ability, and then the strength to know that you can defend yourself.
Katsava says her boxing skills make her feel less vulnerable on Johannesburg's mean streets.
It definitely helps in terms of how to punch correctly and to be aware of your stance, your positioning, and also your inner strength.
But she says misconceptions about fitness boxing abound, and when she tells people she boxes, they're usually surprised.
Well, they think it's a bit rough. Which it isn't. They automatically think that you get in the ring and spar, and it's not like that at all. It's boxer size. So, no, it's great.
50, 60, 70, 80, 90, 20, up. Okay, 1-2-1. Let's go. 1-2-1. Straight into it. Quick.
Castle helps a boxer work out. He says those unfamiliar with boxing think it's nothing more than brutality. Tough men from poor backgrounds pounding one another. But Castle's clientele shatters this cliche.
One of our biggest membership bases has been women, not the tough, aggressive type of people. They recognize what boxing does for them in terms of fitness, in terms of strength, in terms of confidence. Boxing, I think, has become a sport for everybody.
Diverse people indeed visit his gym.
We've got a 62-year-old lady that's been coming here for years. Attorneys. One of the guys we just said hello to now was a CEO of a multi-million rand company. We've got all types. We've got students. We've got schoolboys.
The Filipino crowd chanting for Pacquiao.
TV footage of great contests of the past inspires Zimbabwean pro boxer Shepherd Musiiwa. He's one of Castle's trainers.
Most of my clients which I train are businessmen. They come here, they train like early in the morning, and then they go and then they run their business. I turn them out, they look good. They come here, they're having big bellies, but now they're in shape now, they look good. Great.
Castle also organizes white-collar tournaments where his trainees can box for real.
They start sparring and they want to know what it feels like to get into a ring with another guy. They like to see what it feels like to fight somebody. Guys, they train 2 or 3 times a week now, we're going to get into a ring on a night, put on gloves, and fight somebody they don't know.
But as Katsava says, Most people box simply to get and stay fit.
We all enjoy a good party and a good drink, so this is exactly why we come here.
Boxing to burn calories after a heavy night out may not be many people's idea of a good time, but for growing numbers in South Africa, that's exactly what it is. For the Sunny Side of Sports, I'm Darren Taylor in Johannesburg.
Thanks to Darren Taylor in Johannesburg for that feature, which definitely packs some punch. I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. In European club football, Barcelona clinched a 25th La Liga title Sunday when it scored a 4-2 road victory against Deportivo La Coruña. Argentine superstar Lionel Messi scored a hat trick for Barcelona, which needed only a draw to clinch the title. Messi had this to say after the match, and I quote, "We know how difficult it is to win this league. We were better than our rivals. There is a lot of merit to winning this title without any losses." Barcelona is unbeaten after 34 La Liga matches with 26 wins and 8 draws. Hundreds of Barcelona fans gathered on Las Ramblas in the heart of Barcelona to celebrate, as is customary, around the Canaletas fountain. The celebrations were perhaps dampened a bit, though, as the fans realized their arch rival Real Madrid will host Bayern Munich on Tuesday in the decisive second leg of a UEFA Champions League semifinal. Real is bidding for a third consecutive European trophy and record-extending 13th overall. Real Madrid beat Bayern last week in Germany 2-1 in the first leg. Those fans in Barcelona seem like good sports, though. They sang songs around that fountain to remember Real ahead of Tuesday's big match. I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. I mentioned those celebrations in Barcelona for the city's football club. Well, there were also celebrations in Barcelona for Spanish tennis star Rafael Nadal. And for that story, we turn once again to my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Well, it was just another day at the office for Rafael Nadal, and this is why we call him the King of Clay. On Sunday, Rafa won his final match at the Barcelona Open and lifted the trophy for a record-extending 11th time. Rafa defeated Greek teenager Stefanos Tsitsipas in straight sets, 6-2, 6-1. Stefanos, at age 19, is the second youngest player at the ATP Top 100, and he said playing Nadal would be like, quote, receiving a free tennis lesson. And so it was. Rafa spoke from the court after his unprecedented win and said the semifinal and final matches were his best in the tournament.
Yesterday and today was my two best matches. No, very happy for the victory, of course, against a very difficult opponent like Tsitsipas. That he has an amazing future, I think. But it was a great final. No, very happy to achieve the 11th title here. Means a lot for me. No, so just enjoy the whole week. Great support of the crowd. Just can't say thank you very much, everybody.
Rafa later celebrated his 11th Barcelona Open title the way he's done on several occasions, with a head-first plunge into a swimming pool. Sunday's victory secures Rafa's place at the top of the world tennis rankings, ahead of Roger Federer. Now let's move on to soccer. The countdown continues to the start of the 2018 FIFA World Cup in Russia. And with a mere 45 days to go, here's another fun fact. Argentina used 45 players in their World Cup qualification campaign. The only player with a permanent place in the starting lineup was goalkeeper Sergio Romero. Romero has served as Argentina's starting goalkeeper for the past two FIFA World Cups, and he has played a total of 93 matches for his country. Argentina is in Group D at this year's World Cup, along with Iceland, Croatia, and Nigeria. Argentina will face Iceland in its first match. The top two teams will advance to the round of 16. This year's FIFA World Cup begins on June 14th, and we are getting closer and closer. I'll have more fun facts for you tomorrow. Back to you, Sonny.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Just ahead, an update on the National Basketball Association playoffs. So please, keep on the sunny side.
So keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help you every day. It will brighten all the way if you keep on the sunny side of life.
Kemi Mutombo. I am from Africa. Malaria kills thousands of children every day. Don't let your child be one of them. Make sure they sleep under a treated mosquito net. Beating malaria is like winning at basketball. You need to get to the net.
You need to get to the net. Thanks to Kembe. That's Dikembe Mutombo, who was inducted into the Basketball Hall of Fame in 2015. Dikembe played 18 seasons in the National Basketball Association, earning All-Star honors 8 times. One of the NBA teams that Dikembe played for is the Philadelphia 76ers, and they'll be in action later Monday night when they play the host Boston Celtics in a second-round playoff game in Boston, Massachusetts. Our VOA basketball fans will remember all of the series in the NBA playoffs are best-of-seven games, so the first team that wins 4 games advances to the next round. In the first round, Philadelphia beat the Miami Heat 4-1, while Boston eliminated the Milwaukee Bucks 4-3. In playoff action Sunday, LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers advanced to the second round with a 105-101 win over the visiting Indiana Pacers. The Cavaliers won the series 4-3. LeBron turned in another sensational all-around performance, scoring 45 points, grabbing 9 rebounds, and passing the ball for 7 assists. Talk to us, LeBron!
I just try to do whatever it takes to help us win. And I felt like I just wanted to do that again in this series. Just try to make plays offensively and defensively. Continue to trust my guys and trust myself and trust, you know, how much work I put into my game. So it's good to be able to make plays and help yourself advance. Kudos and a big shout out to the Indiana Pacers, first of all. They were tough. Tough team. They have obviously the head of Snake and Vic. Unbelievable jump from last year to this year. I mean, we all saw it, and he proved it. You know why he's a franchise caliber player, and everybody on down, man. They just got a well-rounded team. You know, they definitely pushed us push it to the brink, basically.
LeBron James mentioned that franchise caliber player Vic, who he described as the head of the snake. LeBron's referring to Victor Oladipo, who had 30 points, 12 rebounds, and 6 assists for the Pacers on Sunday. While Victor was born here in the Washington area, he has ties to Africa. Vic's mother is from Nigeria, and his father is from Sierra Leone. And Vic Oladipo will be celebrating his 26th birthday on Friday, and he's definitely a player to watch in the NBA. James Harden, still sporting my favorite beard in basketball, is always fun to watch. Harden turned in another explosive performance for the Houston Rockets on Sunday. Harden scored 41 points, and the Rockets beat the visiting Utah Jazz 110-96 to take a 1-game-to-none lead in their second-round playoff series. Harden says the Rockets were ready to play from the opening tip.
Just the way we came out, our intensity on both ends of the floor. Defensively, we just try to make it difficult for them, as we do every single game. And then offensively, the same thing, move the basketball, get open shots, and make sure we're unselfish.
James Harden and the Houston Rockets will host the Utah Jazz in Game 2 of their playoff series on Wednesday night in Houston, Texas. I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. I encourage our VOA listeners to follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. Once again, that address, facebook.com/VOA Sunny. And my Twitter handle is @VOA Sunny Sports. If you go to my Facebook page today, Monday, you'll see a photo of Ghana's new boxing world champion, Isaac Dogbe. The 23-year-old Dogbe, as I mentioned earlier, is Ghana's youngest ever pro boxing world champion. There is an article on Isaac, as well as a photo of him standing over the fallen Jesse Magdaleno in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Dogbe captured the WBO super bantamweight title with that big win in Philadelphia. And some of my loyal Sunny Side of Sports Facebook friends are checking in at my Facebook page. Magnus Chisholm Onwuadiwe, the humble apostle of the Sunny Side of Sports, writes, "Thumbs up to Isaac Dogbe." Namdi Moweta, our reigning prince of pugilistics, also checks in. Namdi says Isaac Dogbe is Africa's newest pay-per-view boxing star. And Namdi adds that Dogbe is also the first Sunny Side of Sports prospect of the year to pick up a world title. Another one of my Facebook friends, Stephen Boadu, writing from Ghana, says simply, real champ, to describe Isaac Dogbe. Finally, in women's tennis, let's give a Sunny Side of Sports salute to Karolina Pliskova. She won the Stuttgart Open over the weekend in Germany. Pliskova scored a 7-6, 6-4 win over the American Coco Vandeweghe. Pliskova was seeded 6th in Stuttgart, and this was her first title of the season, as well as her 10th title overall in Stuttgart. Karolina Pliskova lifts the Stuttgart Open trophy. And that wraps up the April 30th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer John Dryden. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it. Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
In late April, the U.S. Department of State released its country reports on human rights practices for the year 2017. These reports are a natural outgrowth of our values as Americans, said John Sullivan, who was serving as acting Secretary of State at the time of the report's rollout.
Promoting human rights and the idea that every person has inherent dignity is a core element of this administration's foreign policy. It also strengthens U.S. national security by fostering greater peace, stability, and prosperity around the world.
The United States does not rank countries by their human rights record, nor do we pass judgment. However, we would like to point out a few countries with the most egregious human rights records, said Mr. Sullivan. Syria has committed horrendous human rights abuses in 2017, including barrel bombing of civilians, attacks on hospitals, widespread reports of rape and abuse by Syrian government personnel. In Burma, ethnic cleansing has caused nearly 670,000 Rohingya people to flee to Bangladesh in recent months. Thousands have died. Those responsible for the violations, abuses, and attacks must be held accountable. The North Korean regime systematically neglects the well-being of its people to finance its illicit weapons programs via forced labor, child labor, and the export of North Korean workers. China continues to impose restrictions on activists, civil society, freedom of expression, and the use of arbitrary surveillance. Iranian authorities continue to deny their people the right of peaceful assembly and freedoms of association and expression. In Turkey, the detention of tens of thousands of individuals under an ongoing state of emergency has undermined the rule of law there. In Venezuela, the Maduro regime represses the human rights of the Venezuelan people and denies them their right to have a voice in their government through free and fair elections. Finally, the Russian government continues to quash dissent and civil society even while it invades its neighbors and undermines the sovereignty of Western nations. America leads the way globally to promote human rights. We will also continue to impose consequences on those who abuse human rights, Mr. Sullivan declared. No human rights abuser, no matter where in the world, is out of our reach. The human rights reports are a significant part of that overall effort.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, Nigerian President Muhammadu Buhari meets with President Donald Trump at the White House on Monday, April 30th. We'll discuss their meeting and current U.S.-Africa relations on the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
Hi, this is Lori London. Tune in to the Voice of America's newscasts every hour on the top of each hour, 24/7. Listen to our news and correspondence reports around the world. VOA is your trusted source for news and information.